Today's episode is brought to you by 1Password. It is a password manager that helps you keep yourself safe online by securing your passwords and usernames behind a single master password that only you know. I use 1Password every day and I love it, and you will too. TMS listeners can sign up and get a 3-month free trial at 1Password.com/TMS and start being safer online today. Coming up on TMS, should you pass on MoviePass?
Volcano Man.
The eggplant is not going to work.
Danny DeVito is quite the prom date.
Gross. How much is that parking space in Hong Kong?
Recommendal.
Tom's tech time and more. That's right, the reverse, because Nicole has a thing, so she has to go first. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Wow, what a cutie. What are you?
You're not my pal.
What?
No time for you. Get lost, you old bat.
Beyond world order. Swine invaders always.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
A jovial introduction to another fine episode of The Morning Stream. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, what are you doing?
That's right. What am I doing? I'm doing a show. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a shirt that's too tight for me because it used to fit and it doesn't now. So,
yes.
Yeah, I love that reminder. There we go. Nice and tight. Although a little less tight than it was right before Vegas, so I am losing a little weight, but nice. It's, I feel like I need to get back into this thing and stretch it out a little bit.
Well, we apparently have we have that in the show notes to talk about in this intro bit here.
Yeah, we do actually.
But I'm wearing a shirt that I picked up at BlizzCon last year. These are little Murlocs.
Of course you did. That Murlocs shirt right there, that's an Ibbett shirt. If there was ever an Ibbett shirt, that's an Ibbett shirt. Yeah.
My shirts must require batteries.
Yep.
If I'm wearing a shirt, it better be so loud you can't hear the movie.
you need to be able to go bowling in Hawaii with his shirts.
I would love to go bowling in Hawaii.
Yeah, right? I'm sure
can
they
we make
have...
that happen for Viva TMS Vegas, Viva TMS Hawaii 2019?
Yeah.
A little alteration in the name?
Well, sure, why not? Or at the very least, if we do it in Vegas again, we'll just do it. We'll go to the Tiki Lounge there, and you can.
Well, that's true. We can't bowl there, but at least I can drink there. I can drink out of little Easter Island heads filled with rum and juice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And ice.
Whatever it takes to get Brian all sauced up.
There's the Tahitian. I think it's called the Tahitian or Hawaiian Marketplace that's in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know about this. It's on the Strip. Did you know that there's a Hawaii themed area on the Strip,
no,
Scott?
No. Where's this?
Yeah. It's an area, it's the equivalent of a flyover state. It's basically on that stretch when you're walking from MGM Grand to like Planet Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, the Pete Rose Bar, it was called the Pete Rose Bar for about 10 minutes, was there. It was a Chili's for a while.
Yeah.
It's in front of the Polo Towers, and it's this area that you have to kind of go, you veer in from the sidewalk right along the Strip a little bit to go through a maze of t-shirt sales and henna tattoos and Vera lotions and stuff like that.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know this at all. I mean, is it known for this? Like, it's known to be?
It's called the Hawaiian Marketplace.
Weird.
Why? I have no idea. Because I don't know what's Hawaiian about it, but I think there might be like a... There might be some palm trees or a.
Are there Don Ho cosplayers trying to get your picture and get money from you?
No. You think that they would like at least have people required to wear Hawaiian shirts.
That's what I think. Yeah, I don't think you should be able to walk through there unless you're wearing one. So you'll be fine no matter what. Brian can just walk right in.
I can walk through there and not get accosted.
That is news to me. All right, we're going to start things off today with a couple of emails, weirdly, because they're important to what's going on in our lives. You know, I got that movie pass. I decided to pick it up.
And you did?
I did.
Cool.
Kim and I did, and I haven't used it yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's lame. here we are almost halfway through a new month. Well, not quite, but, you know, we're moving into June and I haven't even used it yet, so.
We're not even a week into a new month. Come on.
I know. It just feels.
Easy on yourself.
When I got it, though, I just thought, oh, every minute I got 2 hours to spare, I'm going to go to see him. Yeah. You know, like, I thought I would be a little more gung-ho. Yeah,
welcome to Who Has 2 Hours to Spare?
Yeah, that's kind of the revelation with this thing for me. But we got an email from Luke from Texas. This is the barbecue guy.
Yes.
It says, hey, Scott and Brian, I'm about a week behind, so if you've already received 1,000 emails on MoviePass, I'm sorry. Truth is, we didn't hardly receive any. I don't know if that means...
Oh, I got a few.
Did you get a few? I mean, I got some, but it wasn't like this flood of email about
it. It wasn't a flood of email, yeah.
It was a little bit here and there. Anyway, it says, I signed up for the first year, and I love it. When I signed up, there wasn't the restriction of seeing a movie more than once, or that you had to take a picture of your ticket. They're working on new levels of passes so that you can see movies more than once, or upgrading viewings, 3D, and that sort of stuff. I have found a couple of workarounds if you really want them. My theater will allow me to purchase a ticket and exchange it, so you can sacrifice another movie to see the same one twice, or you can exchange it and pay the upgrade difference. See, I knew there'd start to be like weird little sneaky workarounds, because
of course,
the whole exchange is so weird. Like, I could go to 5 3D movies, and they may never know. Or at least they used to not know. Now you got to take a picture of the ticket.
The 3D is going to be different, because if you're taking a picture of your ticket, it's a different price. But if you want to see Infinity War a second time,
right?
You know, you just go buy a ticket to Medea's Are We There Yet 5 or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever Tyler Perry movie is out.
Yeah.
And then just say, you take a picture of it and then exchange it back to the box office and say, yeah, I'd like 2 tickets to Infinity War instead.
Yeah, totally. Or if you're just feeling Randy, you just go in there and say, I don't mean Randy Jordan. I just mean Randy, like the term.
Ever tell you about the time that he got felt up in the movie theater?
I'm sure he has stories that are like that. But like, you can go in there. Why don't you just do this? You go buy the ticket to the thing that you take the picture of, and then you just don't even go exchange it. Just go into the other one. Now, if you've got assigned seating, that's tricky.
That's the problem right there.
So what you do is you go to the seats no one ever takes, which is the big up fronty ones. So there are ways.
Well, that's a crap sacrifice.
Like, I agree. It's not good.
Like, if I'm going to do MoviePass, at least, you know, let me fake out the system to where I can watch a movie comfortably instead of with my neck craned up. Where that's everybody's got big Thanos chin, speaking of Infinity War.
Yeah, somebody submit that title. That's a crap sacrifice. It's pretty good.
That's a crap sacrifice.
Crap sacrifice is good. I like it. Anyway, he seems to be a fan of the system. And Luke, I'll try some of your little tricks there. We'll see how it goes. I'm very curious about what they do with that service. If they suddenly come out with like a $12 a month one that then does 3D, I wonder how easy it would be or not 3D, but like special viewing stuff or multiple of the same movie stuff, if it's possible to just upgrade your service from $10 to $12 without too much hassle. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I imagine when they introduce those, they're not going to say, sorry, if you're already locked into an existing movie pass, you're locked in. Sorry, you can't switch over to our new IMAX/3D.
Right.
Whatever.
Think of what you would have saved last year, by the way, for your pre-Oscar movie binge.
Right. Like, oh, I know. We'll definitely sign up at some point this year. I can't even think about it now with the bike training stuff, because every time I've got spare time, which is rare, I've got to get on the bike and get some rides in. But
right. Listen, sitting in
July 1st, boom. I think I'm signing up.
Then you're good. The idea, while you're training for a bike thing, the idea of having 2 hours to sit on your butt seems antithetical to the bike training. You know what I mean?
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, totally you know, does. You're going to get there. It's all going to be good.
I'm getting there. I can't wait. It's not that I can't wait for the ride. I can't wait to be done with the ride, I think is.
Right.
We've moved from, ooh, this is going to be so much fun, to, oh my God, this is going to kick my butt and I can't wait until it's over. But boy, did I do a great job raising money for MS.
Are you
going
to wear the nipple guards? Is that a thing you're going to do?
No, I'm not running, Scott. I don't need to worry about nipple guards.
I thought the bikers had the same problem. They don't have that?
No, because you're not, your shirt's not going like this while you're riding a bike. For those listening to the audio, I'm raising and lowering my shirt in a rapid way, like I'm airing my pits out or something.
Your grievances.
My grievances.
So.
But I will be wearing I will be going commando, and I will be wearing the butt butter.
Oh, the butt butter. Or wait, is it butt butter? What do we call it?
The chode goo. The chassis chassis lube, whatever they call it.
Whatever that is, the undercarriage carriage.
Right.
But yeah, Brian will be slipping and sliding all over his banana chair, and we're all excited for him.
That's right. The taint paint.
The taint paint. Very well said. Somebody wrote in, Paul. Paul wrote in. It's not a somebody.
Hi, Paul.
His name is Paul. Paul said, on the topic of shakes.
Ah, yes.
Although I wrote on the topic if shakes. That's incorrect. He says, you guys keep talking about shakes. You also have talked favorably about Freddy's. Why have you not tried Freddy's shakes? They're amazing. Paul.
I believe they are.
I believe
them to be.
Because
it's frozen custard. It's right there in the name. It's Freddy's Steak Burgers and Frozen Custard. How could it not be? Maybe that's it. Maybe we feel like we know that it would just be an unfair advantage, the fact that they're starting off with custard.
I know, and it also feels really decadent to me for some reason. Maybe it's because they call it custard. Custard, by its very nature, just the word sounds thicker and like gelatinous, and like it's gonna be and, wonderful, but it'll kill me. You know,
high milk fat, yeah,
yeah, all that. So I think that's why I haven't yet, but it's on my list to try. You know, I'm going through them all, man. That's the goal. And it's my main thing right now is no more than one shake experiment per 7 days. So I'm not gonna. I can't do like three in a row or something like two like. 3 days.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, no.
Yeah, forget it.
Once a week, maybe, for me, if I'm lucky. And that's if I'm sharing it with Tina.
Oh, Skit Rich, you are incorrect. Five Guys does do shakes. We just talked about it on Monday's show.
I think you should change his name to Skit Rich instead of Strike It Rich.
Strike It Rich. Skit Rich. Sorry, Strike It Rich.
Rich.
We did shakes there. We had them. They were not great. They were okay. They were average. Mm-hmm. The burger was amazing, though, but the shake was...
You know where they've got great shakes is Holstein's.
Yeah, that's Holstein's is good in Vegas. Oh,
yeah, but you can't count that because it's not a fast food place. It's a sit-down-y, restaurant-y kind of place, and they make breakfast cereal shakes.
Yeah, I remember that time Randy made me taste his freaking Captain Crunch nightmare, that thing. Ugh, that was awful. It was like
it had alcohol in it.
Yeah, well, it did, but it also had like the taste of
Captain Crunch.
Growing up and watching Saturday morning cartoons and having your cereal sit in a bowl too long. It was no...
Right, it has the taste of the milk that's left over after Captain Crunch.
Right, right.
And I'd say, and I'd argue that the milk left over after Trix is far better than the milk left over after Captain Crunch.
Right. Yeah, it was just a bummer for me.
Yeah.
That it
yeah.
just was like eating old cereal. Soggy, gross, disgusting old cereal. Like Randy himself. Just kidding. All right.
Oh. Jeez.
We're just a lot of Randy talk today. I don't know why.
I know. He's already written three emails to us complaining about today's episode.
Oh, well, he'll slack us up. It'll be fine. Hey, got a question for you. We briefly touched on it before the show. Last night on Current Geek, we had a live listener ask, or we were talking about Star Wars movies and whether we're being oversaturated.
So much better than the dead listeners.
I know, right? They're just so, they keep to themselves. They don't say
they
anything.
They tweet back.
What's going on with that? But, anyway, somebody said, you know, there was some general agreement that, yeah, we're a little saturated with Star Wars stuff, but maybe that will motivate Lucasfilm / Disney to really go, you know, go awesome on the next bunch. Comparing Solo to something like The Dark World, where it's an okay movie, but it doesn't shake the world. So next time maybe kill it with something like the way they did with Thor 3. Like Thor 3 completely made up for Dark World for a lot of people in terms of its mediocrity, right? So
for sure,
that was the conversation, and somebody in the chat room pipes up and goes, "I want a Yoda movie, really bad, just a movie about Yoda." And so my question to you is, Brian, can they even do such a thing? Do you think they would ever attempt to make a full hour and a half, 90-minute to 2-hour feature film about Yoda?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, Han Solo's origin story. They can get away with a lot of the, you know, like, it's Corellia. It's a bunch of humans, and they're all doing human things and, you know, taking them through areas and getting into the Empire and stuff like that. Yoda, it just feels like it would be like that Ewok made-for-TV thing, right? Like the...
the Christmas special?
Well, not that there was an Ewok one.
Oh,
like
right. Battlefield.
Something Journey or something like that.
Endor something... Oh, you guys, what's that called, chat room? So, right. They hadn't learned. They basically didn't learn their lesson from the Star Wars Christmas special, and they decided to try this again.
That's right. Battle for Endor is that what it was called.
Okay. Yeah.
So
no good.
Just feel like it's going to be a bunch of Yodas all talking to each other. Oh, day, this is good to you. Hello, and you know, I know that's not exactly how Yoda talks, but.
Yeah, I don't know it's about I don't know about
Latin.
That Yoda.
Yeah. Ludgay A Day.
He's just doing pig Latin the whole movie. Chat room says they say that, you know, we'll do it when he's younger, and then someone, let's see, Anactra Krakatoa says Yoda's early years when he was 250. I mean, I don't know. I think he's ancillary. There's no way you make him the focus.
Well, I don't know if I'd say he's ancillary, but he's, you know, he's we've seen. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't watched any of Rebels, and I'm only one season through Clone Wars. I started watching Clone Wars, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
But
Clone Wars is, if you're only a season through that, you're really gonna like it coming up, because
I can't wait. I hear it gets better and better and better.
Yeah, it's really good.
So Yoda, we've never seen another whatever Yoda is. We've never seen another member of his species. We haven't seen a female Yoda or baby Yodas. Or things like that. We've seen other Wookiees, right? We've gone to Kashyyyk. We've seen the other Wookiees.
Sure.
We've seen other, you know, other all sorts of different races that we know in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never seen, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, we've never seen other members of Yoda's race. And I love that. I want to never see another Yoda. Except for the Yoda we've seen.
Is it canonical that he's supposed to be the last of his kind? I don't actually know that.
Oh, I don't know. Hmm. If that's been said, really, there's a Yaddle in the prequels?
Yaddle? Yaddle? Really?
Hold on a second.
That makes me want to die. It makes me want to just die right now. Tip over.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, I do remember, yes, in the Jedi Council.
It was
the Jedi Order.
I thought Yaddle. that was Yoda.
No, Yoda's in there too, of course, but Yaddle is Yaddle has a mullet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking it up. Oh, there he is. I thought that was Yoda.
No.
Oh, that's horrendous. That's why was this ever? I've blocked it out because it sucks.
It must have been. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think we've all forgotten. We've blacked out memory of Yaddle.
Oh, my gosh. Which prequel was this? Was this in the first one?
In Phantom Menace. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Yaddle sitting there
a
chilling.
A force-sensitive female member of the same species as Grandmaster Yoda.
Yep.
But we don't ever hear her talk, do we?
She's got her... She's sitting in this chair and her mouth is never open that I can... Oh, no, it is open. I'm only looking at... Yeah, it looks like she speaks, but I can't tell for sure.
Okay.
There's a couple of shots of... Oh, I really... This is a problem. And I'll bet there's some comic stuff because I'm finding some imagery here. I don't know. But I'll bet there's some comic references to her. Well,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, but who knows if that was abolished in the great canon... reboot the reset.
Yeah, it could have been. Well, all right, so now we know there's
the answer is no, we don't need a Yoda movie. What other we're getting a Boba Fett movie, right? Is that all
I think that's a done deal. Pretty sure that's being written and done by that Mangold guy who did
Logan.
Yeah
which excites me.
No, I'm totally excited. Yeah.
Who else in the Star Wars universe would we like to know more about? I mean, there's a little bit about me that wouldn't mind a mafia style Hutt movie.
Oh yeah, no, what I hope is that either the next Solo movie, if there is one, or maybe even this Boba Fett movie is like smuggler based Hutt mobster who controls the universe stuff. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you 100%. That would be amazing.
Maybe a Dengar movie would be pretty good. We can watch the series of events. It's gonna be like the first few minutes of Police Squad with OJ Simpson like stepping on a rake and then burning his hand on the stove and then poking his eye out with a golf stick or something. All those things that all happen one right after the other. We can find out why Dengar is covered with all those bandages.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that
he's
a lot.
Like this handsome guy walking the beginning of the movie, and then it's 2 hours of him having accident after accident.
Do you think they do You think they do in the Boba Fett thing? I mean, it obviously has to be a prequel to the final, episode 6. It has to be before that, before the sand vagina got him. But do you think they retcon that much, or
it doesn't necessarily have to be, right? I mean, you could pick up a Boba Fett movie because he, in lore, he does escape the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, I thought he does.
Yeah, I think that is established.
That is canonical now, even though
it's canonical.
Okay, so he got out of there somehow. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm down with that.
So you could do a Boba Fett movie that's not a Return of the Jedi prequel, and I think that'd be kind of cool.
I think that, like, would be super cool.
Pick it up with how he got out of the big sand vagina.
Yeah, and I don't need, by the way, I don't need Jabba the Hutt in my Hutt movies. I want just more Hutts.
Yeah, just any Hutt. We've seen other Hutts.
I want the whole, like, a cabal of Hutts and how they run the underground, and, like, yes, that is so interesting to me for some reason. Mm-hmm. And again, right. Go a little dark with it, you know? You don't need to be all... I know these movies are for kids. I get it. But you can, you can darken it up a little bit. Just smudge it around. It'll be fine.
Sure.
Did you see that trailer for the new Lego movie?
No, I didn't. But I did see the trailer for the new Spider-Verse movie.
Okay, and that was really cool, too.
That is freaking cool.
Like, but the
that
Lego movie, the Lego movie starts in the Mad Max world.
Oh, does it really?
Yes! I'm so excited.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't watch it.
Oh, I'm so excited, Brian.
Speaking of, since you brought up that movie, Charlize Theron has been cast along with, what's the list? It's like a big long list. They're making an Addams Family animated movie based on the original artwork by Charles Addams.
Really?
Yeah.
That stuff's really cool.
It is really cool. That excites me.
Yeah, Brian's got a small erection right now. No.
Why do you have to go there?
I don't know.
Why does it have to?
I don't know why. Who knows why? I can't explain why.
Let me see. I've got the list. Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
Bette Midler. Allison Janney.
Wait a minute. Don't just jump over Bette Midler that quickly.
I tried to.
I don't understand why she's in things.
If I could have said that even quieter. Allison Janney.
I do like Allison Janney. Oh, look at these screenshots.
Right? Yeah.
That is so cool, dude.
How cool is that, right? Yeah. How cool is that?
That is like Tim Burton before Tim Burton, man.
Yeah.
Look at that business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those Charles Adams?
Oscar Isaac, man. That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's totally cool. Is he who is he? Is he?
He's got to be Gomez.
Yeah, must be.
I'm guessing it's he and Charlize are Gomez and Morticia. I'm guessing Bette Midler has to be Grandma.
Yeah, I would assume so. Who's Wednesday? Some girl, unknown girl actor, probably.
Some Dakota.
What are
more Dakotas?
The look of this is fantastic.
Well, who would Allison Janney be?
She could be Grandma. Oh, no, she's probably Morticia, maybe. Oh, no, that's Charlize. Okay.
Well, who knows? Could be the villain or the antagonist.
She's the hand that moves around by itself. Mm-hmm. No, probably not.
Oh, here we go. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, I like her.
That's Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, she's good. She's got those weird lips.
Which we won't see.
No, we won't see her weird lips unless they animate them or something.
Instead of Cousin It, we'll just have lips.
Well, that's great. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could use. I think the Addams Family lends itself really well to animation. Anyway, I think that may have been the right way to go. So, good luck to them. May they ever do cool things.
There you go. Allison Janney is someone named Margot Needler. So there you go. Allison Janney will be the villain created specifically for this movie.
Oh, she'll be like the dude from the movie who was married, Nick Tortelli in the first movie.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. Loretta, you need to come back to me, Loretta.
You know, it's not bad. It's a pretty good impression.
I'm work. Totally, first time I've ever pulled out a Nick Tortelli.
It's not bad.
All of you must take me back.
All right, everybody, it's time for us to play a little Babel Royale, and we have on the phone with us our starring member of the Babel Royale team, Brian Dunaway. Hello? Hello? You're muted. Brian is muted. That is to say, Brian Dunaway is muted.
Hi, Scott.
Oh,
Brian.
There he is.
A lot of lag there, right? Because
so a lot of lag.
It was so your voice was so stretched out, Scott. It was like you're.
I don't get that. Well, I don't understand why it does that freaking thing. Is it still doing it now?
Brian and I hear everything the same. Like, you come on, it's like, welcome.
Okay, hold on. Resume call. How is it now? Is it better now?
Is that?
It's there.
It's okay. There. It's better.
I caught up. It's so
weird. You forgot to do the Skype call before the show today.
Right, because that's what clears it up. It's the stupid... lame thing I do to make this work, and it sucks.
I swear. I think Zoom. We trade the lag problems for a little bit of non-adjustable audio volume levels. And
I'm willing. I was willing to pay. Is the minute those guys, you showed me the thing, I thought I'm going to pay $15 a month for this, and I did. I paid for a month of it, and I thought, well, let's give this a shot. Not being able to adjust people's audio. Kind of blows monkeys. The problem is I can't adjust even on the whole, where at least Skype gives me an overall volume adjustment.
Right.
The other one doesn't let me adjust it at all unless I have it coming in as a separate input, which I'm not prepared to do yet. So anyway, we'll think about it. We'll figure it out. Doesn't matter because Brian Dunaway is here. He's queer. Get used to it.
That's not nice.
Well, sure it is. You know, nothing wrong with that. If you were gay, it'd be okay with me. I'd still like it.
It would be okay. In the weird sense. It would be okay if I were, perhaps. But since it's no relation to anything I am other than crazy, I don't know.
You're not gay. Everyone put those rumors to
rest. Are you asking or are you making a statement?
Not that there's anything wrong.
Are you asking or making a statement?
I'm just saying Brian isn't gay. Let the rumors lie. Let them go away.
But it's fine. But why can't I be?
Well, you can be if you want to be. You can be as gay as you want to be. That's the truth. I'm just saying.
If it was, it's one of those things where it's like there's three straight guys here talking about it, and I just feel uncomfortable. Because
yes, I know.
Like
You'll notice that I've completely dropped out of this conversation. Exactly. I don't want any of my feet in my mouth. Thank you very much.
Brian has abstained. Yes. You have abstained. All right, we're gonna take a caller because they're already flying in here. So let's see what we got here. Just hold on a second. Maybe it's coming in. No. All right. Well, I guess that one didn't work.
Caller, are you there?
I'll do this one. Let's try this one. It says they should be coming in. Nope, that didn't allow me. Why isn't it letting me pull people in? I'm hitting add them. Okay, add to call. It's just... Oh, there it is. This might add all three of those people. We're going to find out. Hi, who's this?
Matt.
I'm sorry, Max?
Matt.
M-A-T-T. Oh, Matt. All right, sorry. A little quiet on our end. Matt, it's good to have you. It's good to have you here. Welcome to Babel Royale. Brian will explain the rules, and apparently he's very excited about today's edition, so let's find out why. Go ahead, Brian.
Matt, where are you from, by the way?
From outside of St.
Louis. Cool. Well, welcome to the show. All right, so here's what we're going to be doing. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for three awesome Steam games, courtesy of Matthew Bach and Lisa Myring, Crusaders of the Lost Idols. This is the Elite Starter Pack that you're going to get, NASCAR Heat 2, the October Jumbo Expansion, and The Road to Valhalla. All of those available on Steam. Is that NASCAR Heat 2? You think that's a...
I have no idea.
It says expansion.
It's a sequel? Sure.
I'm sure it's a standalone.
That's what 2 means.
Okay, good. Standalone. If it's not a standalone, Matt, you'll let me know. Well, if you win.
If you win.
It turns out you require the original... NASCAR Heat 2 game, let me know and we can work something out. We'll figure out.
Oh, I played this Valhalla game. This is a fun little game here. That's a $16 game. I like that game a lot. Valhalla, The Road to Valhalla is awesome. I'm excited for him. Okay, awesome.
Pretty cool. But before Scott and Brian can start, I have to give them their topic and they can start thinking about it while I ask you who you're picking to win. Your topic today... here's a little audio to kind of help you understand the topic.
The Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders before he went Tetzer. I hated the Colonel with his wee beady eyes and that smug look on his face. Oh, you're gonna buy my chicken. Oh,
Dad, how can you?
Okay, anyway. All right. I was hoping I got it to the part. I really had to scrub to hopefully find the place where he says, because he puts his 11 herbs and spices that make you crave it fortnightly, jackass.
Fortnightly. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That is going to be today's topic. I want you to name the 11 herbs and spices that are in KFC's fried chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
Start
dude.
Thinking about
wait, wait,
that.
Wait, isn't that a secret?
No.
No.
That you're thinking of McDonald's, you weirdo.
The secret sauce? Yeah. It is not a secret. So, Matt, who do you think is going to win this Babel Royale?
Dunaway just said it was a secret. I'm going to have to go with Scott.
Okay.
Normally I'd go with the Southern guy and fried chicken. But
Right. It's a good get.
This is great.
And I will say, too, this one came to us from Ray McDonald. As soon as he sent it in, I said, we are absolutely using this one. I love this. I'm going to need you guys to be as specific as possible.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And we're going to try something new recommended by Jamie, TMS Mashups. Matt, I'm going to let you choose who you want to go first.
Oh, I like this.
Choosing who you think is going to win. So you've chosen Scott to win, but yeah. You get to also choose who goes first.
I'm going to let Brian go first.
All right.
All right.
Brian's up first.
I'm going to take the easy one. I'm almost guaranteed there's going to be some salt in there, right?
Salt.
Got to be salt.
There is salt. There's 2/3 of a teaspoon in the... 11 herbs and spices.
There's one.
All right.
And take salt. Scott.
That was going to be my first pick, too, because everything has salt in it.
It's going to be obvious, yeah.
Yeah, nothing doesn't have salt in it. Well, I'm going to say, let's stay in the same realm. This might be where it all falls apart. I don't know. Salt's favorite buddy, pepper.
Okay, now here's where I want you to be specific.
Black pepper.
Black pepper is correct.
Okay.
Very good.
Because it's not like pepper. Like there's no like jalapenos or anything in there.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So all I got that right? Isn't they do have black pepper? All right.
They do. 1 whole teaspoon.
Now you're making me curious because that's an interesting piece of trivia there. You had to be specific about the black pepper, which makes me think there's other kind of peppers in there. There's only one other kind of pepper that I know of. Ground pepper, that is. I gotta imagine there's some kind of... There's got to be garlic in there. You always put salt and garlic or garlic salt in things. So there's got to be garlic in it, right?
All right.
You said garlic salt. I'm accepting garlic salt. That is correct. There is, yeah. You said it, or I would have made you be more specific.
Well, I don't think KFC's over there, grinding up their own garlic. Right. Yeah, no.
Well, and that wouldn't be like garlic itself isn't. Right, I don't think it's considered an herb or a spice, but garlic salt is. So
okay.
Back to Scott.
This is complete guess, but sure. I just watched another episode last night of Fawlty Towers. And and I remember every time that show's on, I just think about the I don't even know if it's a spice, whatever it is. It's like a herb or whatever, but I'm going to say basil.
Basil or basil.
Basil.
Sure. It's in there.
Okay.
Have a teaspoon of basil.
Oh, wait, basil. Basil's the guy's name.
Basil's the name.
Basil. All right. This is where my wall goes up. Go ahead, Brian.
All right. Wow. So, yeah. Wow.
Garlic is an herb, according to Pants Arsonist and Fenocchery. So,
Fenocchery.
Oh, well, good.
Fenocchery.
Okay.
Good. Man, it is just, I am out of, that's the reason why they're in business and I'm not selling Kentucky Fried Chicken because, I've only got a couple of things in my cabinet and right. I kind of went through all of them.
Got you 4 herbs and spices.
The whole four herbs and spices. I'm going to go with they put some kind of onion powder in there. Is that a thing? That sounds right. I'm going to go with onion powder.
There's no onion powder.
There's no onion powder? I would have
no onion powder, no onion salt.
I would have totally guessed that would have been correct.
Oh,
Man, yeah. Come on. You know what? I put it on mine.
What? So when Scott said black pepper, what would you have? What were you thinking? You know, I made him be specific. What was the other pepper?
I was trying to think of the same thing, spicy, but there's only two peppers that I'm aware of I've seen at the store, and that's the black or the white pepper. But that's
right.
The only
you should have said white pepper.
Oh, white pepper's in there? I didn't even know there's such a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's not really any flavor difference, right? It's just...
Wait, hold on. What is white pepper? What is it, like white chocolate where it's really not chocolate? Like, what is that?
It just comes from a different plant. It's white, like the little peppercorns are white.
Oh. Chat room says racist pepper. I agree. TVZ.
It's racist pepper. Here are all the other things you could have said. So you said salt, thyme, basil, oregano, celery salt.
Celery salt? Wait. What is celery salt? Is that real?
Yes, it's real.
I mean, I assume it's real, but what the hell is that?
Put it on your creamy peen.
How do you get salt out of a celery stick?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It
has
to
be really dry.
Okay.
I think celery salt comes from a different part of the stock than the celery that you fill with pimento spread.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if it's not a hot dog or a piece of naan, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. What else? Dried mustard, paprika, brown ginger, and white pepper.
Oh, really? Dried mustard, ginger.
Dried mustard. So the win goes to Scott, and the win goes to Matt outside.
Congratulations.
Well done,
sir. Yeah. You're a winner.
Well done. You get this stuff 100% free, and you get it by emailing Brian directly at coverville@gmail.com. I also understand that it's Matt's first day in the live stream. So well done on not only being here, but just winning the damn lottery and making it in the random call picking and winning the game today. Congratulations, Matt.
That would be a winner, winner, chicken dinner. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Well done.
Nicely played.
Can't believe we didn't
Let me tell you something. I'm going to the grocery store today, and there's going to be about an hour spent over in the herbs and spices section.
Yeah.
I felt woefully unprepared for that.
Yeah. I'm gonna listen to Simon and Garfunkel today to celebrate.
Yeah, well, parsley, sage, and rosemary were not part of this. Just thyme.
Just thyme. Thyme.
Thyme, correct. Yeah.
So if someone says, do you have the time?
You can just hand them a little shaker of, just drops it in their hand.
Chat room tells me that the celery salt comes from the seeds of celery. So you
right, so not from the stalk. Yeah.
Right, so you ground that
up. Wait. Celery has seeds?
Well, that I think I could have, I figured out, I think, because it's a plant, and I figure a plant needs seeds. But I'm no cook. I don't know any of these things. I'm like, paprika? I'd have never gotten around to that. There's no way I would have known that.
Actually, I had it with my head because I was trying to think of where I've seen spices the most at, and one of the things I remember is stupid Blue's Clues. But paprika made no sense to me to put in the KFC
chicken. That's right, because Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper, wasn't that like their cousin or something?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a kid, wasn't it? Was it a cousin?
Was paprika. That's right.
Yeah. It's all dumb. What I liked about that show, though, was that song. We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
Got a letter.
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from. Isn't that great?
We used to sing with Tristan. Here's the mail. It never fails. Makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then Backpack is that's not him, though. That's the.
No, that's Dora.
Dora the Explorer. Yeah. Well, this has been educational. Yes, it has. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Go follow him. Talk to him. He's a good man, that Brian Dunaway. Brian, let's move forward. Not back. Ever forward.
Ever forward.
And we got some time. We're okay. We're good here. I was afraid we'd go long, but we didn't. So let's see what's next, everybody. This
is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
'Tis the news, brought to you by
Twitch.tv/NotThatKeen. Live streaming art, hip music, and good conversation every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. New Zealand time, which translates to 7 p.m. Monday and Wednesday Mountain time for those in the only time zone that matters or who want to adjust based on the only time zone that matters. Come hang out, talk art, and have fun. That's Twitch.tv/NotThatKeen, KEANE.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so a story we missed yesterday that is absolutely worth repeating for the photo alone.
Yes.
A stone crushed a man fleeing from a volcano. Not recently. Things are going okay over there in Hawaii-ish. Well, they're not really. That thing's getting bigger and there's more lava and stuff. But anyway, archaeologists found a 2,000-year-old remains of a man who was crushed by a rock as he fled. And they think it was a door, like an actual like stone door.
Right, like a door jam or something.
Yeah, that like blew off as he was running and it came down and landed on his head.
Wait, just the photo is just like, like
yeah, it's really great. I'm going to bring it up here. Now, we talked about it on Current Geek last night because we thought it was funny. And again, you know, 2,000 years is a long enough time to sort of, you can have a good time at the expense of, I think, this guy. But this this photo, this idea that this thing just went shunk and he just, that was it. He laid there. nothing he could do about it. Now, they don't know. They know that he had bone problems. They've been able to determine that he had some sort of degenerative bone issues, and that probably made it so he was slower to try to flee from the erupting volcano. But they're trying to basically assemble a story here. The one thing they can't find is his head. So they think what happened is this stone lopped the thing right off.
Oh yeah, right.
It's like the worst. It's the worst
it's
luck
the worst
ever.
Way to go. Like, oh my god, I think I'm getting away from this volcano. Oh, thank it.
yeah, just like a cartoon or something. But anyway, interesting find. He is from the year 79 AD, I believe. Hold on. Did I tell you that? Yeah, 79 AD. And it is from the Vesuvius explosion, one of the world's most widely known historical natural disasters. The blast destroyed Pompeii and Herculaneum.
Yeah.
That's the part that when
Herculaneum.
That's that little bit of, never mind. I'm not going there.
There's a, I think there's a font named after Herculaneum.
That sounds right. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Oh, it's so good in the bold, the
by the way, I think you said Vesuvius.
Vesuvius. Did I say Vesuvius? No.
Yeah, he said Vesuvius. Mount Vesuvius.
These are towns south of Naples and left preserved many of the area's structures and human remains in ash. Archaeologists began excavations in the site in March of this year in a section called Regio, I'm going to say it, 4 or 5, rather. That's a V. Anyway, this is still Europe's only active volcano, by the way. And about 2,000 people died in Pompeii out of a population of 20,000. That's 10% of the population.
Meanwhile, Nero fiddled.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's the thing. While Pompeii fell, Nero fiddled, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. But what did he fiddle with? What was his deal? was he fiddling?
Well, let's assume it was a fiddle, but...
could be more. Who knows?
Right.
All right, so that's that story. Hey, a Chinese man in the news. Check out this guy.
Oh, no, he says Rome burned and Nero fiddled.
So oh, Rome burned.
Rome burned at Nero fiddled.
Hold on, what's the... Okay, so Pompeii fell. Well, I swear there's another saying like that.
If there is,
can't find it.
I don't know it. I was getting my Pompeii and my Rome mixed up.
Oh, yeah. Chinese man in the news.
Right,
Chinese
sure.
man. Wait, I can't believe Scott managed to reference Naples without saying the word nipples. Why? I don't have to always say nipple. Not always. Anyway, Chinese man attempted to cure constipation by inserting, I mean, why wouldn't you? Inserting an eggplant into his butt.
Oh.
Honey, what's wrong? Wow. I'm a little constipated. Oh, just put an eggplant in your bum.
I'm making this emoji come to life.
it failed. It didn't work. And it got stuck. A 50-year-old Chinese man is recovering in a hospital after a very unusual attempt to cure himself of constipation when it backfired terribly.
Yeah, backfired. Well done, NewsView. I don't even think that was intentional.
No, if it was, real sneaky, guys. Nice job. Yeah. According to a report filed by the Irish Post. Hello, I'm the Irish Post. The unnamed patient was admitted to the hospital with a 30-centimeter-long eggplant protruding from his rectum.
Damn near killed him.
Yeah. questioned by doctors, he revealed that he had been suffering from constipation for the last 2 years. Days, rather. Sorry, no days. Or days, not years. and turned to a home remedy, which involved inserting a long eggplant into his bum to provide relief somehow. Unfortunately for the man, this remedy was a complete failure and actually made the situation much worse. You think?
Oh, so you're blocked and your solution is to block more.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. In fact, I'm starting to think, I don't know, not sure his story holds up.
Do like, they not have Taco Bell in China? Come on, I mean, that's the ultimate cure for constipation.
Yeah, it's your go-to, you know, just go over to Taco Bell, get one of those stupid nacho things, nacho taco whatevers, and go home, and then you're good. Surgery is required to remove the eggplant, which was removed almost entirely intact. The man is expected to make a full recovery. So there you go. It's a good story. Good story.
Everybody. Yeah. I like the happy ending.
It's got a good feel-good ending to it. I got another story here where a girl took a cardboard cutout of Danny DeVito to prom. That's basically it. There's not much more about that story. Although, I guess the follow-up is he did something in return. Like, I can't remember what the deal was, and I don't have that article here. But he did something. Anyway, DeVito lives in L.A., 73. Okay, here we go. If you're a high school student, prom season can be fraught with peril. Blah, blah, blah. I'm skipping past all this flavor text. Who cares?
Yeah,
exactly. Here we go. Last month, high schooler Allison Cross knew she wasn't interested in taking a fellow classmate to prom because none of them could quite measure up to the most important person in her life, Taxi and It's Always Sunny, in Philadelphia star Danny DeVito. Because DeVito lives in Los Angeles and is 73, Cross knew it was unlikely that he would attend the dance on her arm, so she did the next best thing and brought a cardboard cutout of him. She's just being a dork.
That's funny, though. I mean, of all the people to take to prom, not like a handsome George Clooney stand-up or something like that. I like that she put a tie on him. So he's dressed in kind of a little sports jacket, and stuck a boutonniere on him. She looks like she's... Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is the... Sidian put a photo in the chat room of Danny DeVito with a
This is the follow-up.
Okay.
Yeah, he went and had that made and now has her, which I think is
that's
creepy.
Hilarious.
I think that's just a little creepy on his end, don't you think?
I don't think so. No, that's not creepy.
I don't know, the 73-year-old guy with the high school girl cutout, I don't know.
It would be creepy if he did that without her doing the cardboard cutout of him. But him following that up, that's just like, oh, okay, you're taking me to prom, I'm taking you to the set for the filming of It's Always Sunny. I don't think that's creepy at all.
Do you think he'll live till 100 million years old because he never...
Tell you what, if he does, I think we found the star of our Yoda movie.
Yeah, we did it finally. But I feel like he's been this age for his whole life. Like in Taxi, I never thought of him as a young guy in Taxi. Like,
no, he looked a lot like he looks right now. Yeah. At least I remember him looking a lot like he looks right now in Taxi.
I don't think he's ever gonna die. I think
he's gonna live forever.
Yeah.
He and Rhea Perlman are back together, right? Are they?
They're on and off all the time.
They are, but I mean, come on. It's like,
who else is
if there ever seemed like a more perfect couple in Hollywood, it's Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Yeah, were they ever meant? There's no one else. Who else is there? That's all you're going to get. Mumbambu Cube, whatever his name is, says, Scott, you're just an overprotective tather.
Ooh, a tather. I think father is what he meant, but...
I think he meant father as well, but he put tather.
Yeah, tather.
Yeah, I get that way. I admit it. I have radar for that stuff.
We don't know that he took that cardboard cutout home and did things to it. We pretty much can assume he did not. Like,
he had to
print it up. Went to a Kinko's, had it printed up, brought it to the bar, and it probably is now sitting in the back of a prop warehouse somewhere.
And it's that Philadelphia bar, isn't
it? It's Always Sunny. It's Patty's.
Yeah, it's Patty's. I like that show. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Well done, Danny DeVito. May you live on forever. You'll always be the Penguin to me. We're going to...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he did that. He did all kinds of... He was big movie guy for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner movies. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Like War of the Roses and
Romance of the Stone, right?
Then he was also in he was the little goat dude in that Disney animated Hercules movie.
Oh right,
He's been in a billion things. He's just a Danny DeVito, man. Just spanning. It's just so funny. This article is like, you may know him from Taxi, jump ahead 60 years. And it's always funny in Philadelphia. Because it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, well, you're not going to say, you know, Danny DeVito from War of the Roses or that little goat dude. What was that? What's that guy called? Because it was one Mr. Tumnus in. Narnia is that as well. He's a.
A goat man. Nope. Yeah. What's that called? Tumnus is a. What up? Mr. Tumnus is what?
The chat room.
Let's see if I can beat him. It is a fawn.
Oh, satyr.
Oh, I'd put. It says Mr. Tumnus is satyr. A fawn, it says. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was a satyr in the Hercules thing, though.
Oh, okay. He wasn't the same thing. So Mr. Tumnus is a fawn and Danny DeVito was a satyr.
Yeah, it says fawn.
Yes. Yet another Disney movie that we can't get something straight. Welcome to welcome to Pumbaland.
We're never going to get jobs at Disney, ever.
We're never, ever. Exactly.
It's not going to happen. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals first this week, because Nicole's got a thing. And then Tom's Tech Time, who doesn't have a thing, but was willing to move around for Nicole, which was really nice of him, I thought. So we'll do all of that here in a second. But before that, Brian Dunn brung the heat. In the form of a song. What do you got?
Oh, I did. We're going back to Melbourne, Australia again. I think we were there yesterday. We're going back. Back to Melbourne.
Great.
This is a band called South Village. They've been influenced by folks like the DMAs, the Gang of Youths, Buffalo Tom, Oasis, Neil Finn, and the Smiths. I tell you what, the first few seconds of this song sound like they should be used for... podcast commercials. Like it feels like perfect background music for podcasting commercials.
Right.
They just released the single Say It Now. We're playing it now. Here is South Village.
South Village. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. want to live in a world where I only have one password to deal with. Man, what a perfect name for a company. Oh, they exist. That's right. You have passwords? Of course you do. Do you use the same password over and over again? Some of you do. Unless you're using a password manager like 1Password, you probably are. 1Password is an essential part of my workflow every day. It keeps all my passwords safe and secure behind a single master password that only I know. Better yet, it helps me create strong, unique passwords for every website I sign into, meaning that if the place where I order my shoes has a breach, I don't have to worry about those attackers getting my bank info and other stuff like that. It's pretty hardcore. You gotta keep that stuff safe. They recently rolled out an update to Watchtower. This is an amazing feature. Let you know if one of your passwords has been compromised. And I'm using the same password on more than one site. Or if you have weak passwords that you should name better, they're going to help you with that. TMS listeners, either one of you, can get a free 3-month trial. 3 months of 1Password by visiting 1Password. That's the number one, the word password.com/TMS. 1Password.com/TMS. And sign up today. Do it.
I can't hear you. The castle's falling.
As you can't hear me, I love you. Maybe she heard me.
To stop fratricide puts my soul at peace.
The Morning Stream. Better than a pound of jam in your pants.
That's what Brian will have on his bike ride. Jam a pound of jam in his pants.
I will have a pound of jam in my pants.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I like that. That was very good. And we're back, everybody. We're back. Let's get Nicole in here. Let's do Nicole. Let's get her in. She is Nicole Spag. You know her. You love her. She lives in Arizona. She lives in Colorado. Used to live in Arizona. Doesn't live there anymore.
Arizona, yeah.
She lives right there by Brian. What, like 30 minutes from you? Something like that?
Yeah, if that, yeah.
It's not too bad. Mm-mm. That could be further. Oh, I hear myself.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's better now. Nicole Spagnuolo all the way here from Colorado to share with us her misgivings about the American way of life. No, she's here to share her things that streamed. Yeah, we didn't really prepare you for your real topic today. Nicole, it's always lovely to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing really good.
Oh, that's good. Yay. We're glad that we were able to make this work today so we could get you in a little early.
Thank you. Yeah, my son has t-ball practice this, he's never done t-ball, and I'm like, you're going to do t-ball.
Here's all he has to do. All he has to do is hold the bat.
Yeah.
Focus on that little ball that's on top of that tee and hit that ball.
Wow, you're really good at that.
And then run really hard. Look, I have I have like child trauma memories of t-ball because I'm not worried about you, but when I was there, I was terrible and uncoordinated and lame. So when I was 8 years old or whatever I was, I hit the t-ball once and I was so excited that I actually hit it that I ran as hard as I could to what I thought was first base, but really it was third base on the field next to us. It was an empty field with nothing going on, and I was so embarrassed.
All right. Yeah. Okay. It's all fun. I'm actually planning on participating and, you know, helping them out and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Well, good. Well, I'm excited for them. That'll be fun for them. Sports.
What? Maybe. There's people in the chat room that have never heard of T-ball.
Yeah, because it's outside of the U.S. T-ball is basically baseball without a pitcher, and it's made for kids.
Yeah, it's on a tee. That's why it's called a T-ball.
Yeah. So. Here you go, Chad. I know you... They all have Google, but I'll show them anyway. Here's a picture of a kid getting ready to whack at that thing. That's exactly
usually
how it works.
Usually the kid hits the metal stand that's holding the ball instead of the ball.
And the ball just drops to the ground.
Yep. And it's usually situated on top of, it's on its own little platform, but it's kind of part of the home base. So
exactly.
Sometimes when they hit it, the ump will move it while the kids are moving around the bases. Mm-hmm. So it's not this big, you know, rod sticking. It's just not like it's a stiff rod, but whatever. So they don't get hurt. Sometimes they leave it because they want the kids not to slide. They want them just to touch the base. So anyway. Yeah, this was a big thing when I was growing up. Everybody did t-ball.
I did too.
Yep.
Got me into, I played t-ball and softball. I was so mad that I couldn't play baseball, that I had to play softball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
But anyway.
Well.
No, it's not weird. I mean, that is.
That is life.
You know, the genders.
Sure.
The softball.
Exactly. That's how it worked, which is, you know, I still don't quite understand it. Why can't you guys play baseball? I don't get it. You guys should be able to play baseball.
Delicate. Have you ever seen one of those girls throw those softballs? That is not that is like insane.
Yeah,
like,
that's a weapon.
I used to be a catcher. So.
Ooh, were you down there going like meh, 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 doing little hand signals
giving
and stuff?
Signals,
give signals. Like, we had like one signal.
And it's I'm not ready.
Yeah. Throw the ball. That's the signal. So okay, I have a theory, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. I'm gonna mansplain this a little bit, so you can please feel free to just kick me right in the A here. But it seems like maybe the reason they went with that whole underhand speed pitch thing and then softball being kind of a separating gender thing is because when you pitch the ball in a more traditional pitching sense, I feel like that is going to hurt the boobies. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Okay.
because
if you just go whah, like that and you're like...
Believe me, I've been hit by a number of softballs. They hurt just as much as a baseball, and they're ginormous.
I don't mean from the hitting yet part. I mean the throwing it. Yeah, if the pitcher...
The way you demonstrated, your arm went across your chest. The way they throw it, it's almost like a
windmill.
It's like an underhand, like they're
right.
Townsend playing.
This is exactly my point. If you're throwing it that way, you're not having to do like this crossover breast pound thing to yourself. Whereas if you throw it overhand, like a picture you would see in the MLB or something, it's like this crossover, like, yeah, and you're basically just going,
I guess supporting a couple double D's maybe, but I mean, sports bras, the boob thing is invalid.
Whiplash. Whiplash is what I'm getting at. And I mean in the old days, like before we had these high-tech sports bras, right? Where they were just kind of more, you know, they had like the 60s pointies bras. I mean, I like I said, I'm probably totally wrong on this.
Somebody in the chat room says they don't cross, when guys throw, they don't really, they're not like, like.
Like it's, you know, the follow-through is straight down. Yeah, either that or the ball's going to go to third base.
Yeah, but the physics are like, whammo, you got to like really... Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, pretend these are my boobs.
Yeah,
and even if you throw forward and not at all crossover, you're still going whammo like this. Right?
I mean, you're like, what, Kermit the Frog after you throw? Like, your arm's just flailing around? Like, yay, I threw the ball.
No concept of what boobs.
Yeah, not arms, though, boobs.
And all boobs are different. Boobs are different. I mean, everybody has different boobs. Oh,
that's the truth. I can tell you that's true. All right. It was just a thought. And like I said,
a smaller woman.
Right. And like I said, probably completely wrong. And this is why we discuss these things, so we can get them out of the way, clear the air. It's all good now. Then you know what? I'm left still not understanding why we have the separation. Like, just.
I'd be curious to learn the history of softball and, I mean, I'm sure it was created in a time where, you know, because nowadays girls can play baseball. When I was a kid, you didn't play baseball. It wasn't allowed.
Oh, hey, listen to this. It was invented in 1887 in Chicago, Illinois, United States, as an indoor game. It was at various times called indoor baseball, mush ball, ground ball, softball, which stuck, kitten ball, and because it was also played by women, ladies baseball. So there you go. There's probably more to it than that.
But. You could go watch League of Their Own and not a single boob gets smashed in that movie.
That is such a great movie.
Yeah, they did pretty good with the non-boob physics in that.
That's right. Lori Petty would have complained about that if that were an issue.
All right, well, this has been great. Hey, let's talk about streaming stuff.
It all came from T-ball.
That's right. We have recommendations for things we've seen on streaming services. Brian, the tradition is you go first. I have a clip here. Do you have any setup for your clip?
You know what? No, this is, you know, the setup will be that this is a 2016 thing, so 2016, and that's it. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right, here it is.
The actual cost of producing that record always comes out of the artist's end. Physically manufacturing the record, touring costs, studio space, marketing, packaging. If a drummer drinks a Pepsi in the middle of recording that album, believe me, he's paying for it at a 700% markup. We really don't have any downside.
No. No, we practically break even on all the flops.
Oh,
I know. But the hits, that's where we cash in big.
Okay.
This is the biggest hit.
Hold on, hold on.
Oh, there's more.
The makeover would have been the Led Zeppelins, no?
Maybe. But I got to tell you, I can't do business with them. Their manager, Peter Grant, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but he hates Germans.
So I know what this is, but it got canceled after like...
It did, yeah. One season.
Yeah, like six episodes or something or whatever.
Ten episodes.
No, it's 10 total? Okay. What's it called? I forget.
Ten total. It's Vinyl. It was an HBO series for one season.
Yeah.
Like I said, 10 episodes. The good news is they wrap up most of the storylines pretty well in that one season. So you're still... You know, there's still a couple threads that it's like, oh, I would have liked to have known what would have happened to that character. But for the most part, it's really well
Did you like it? Because I got two episodes in and gave up because I didn't like it.
Really? Oh, yeah, I really like it. And it's Martin Scorsese, Mick Jagger produced.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very Martin Scorsese, especially that first episode with what happens to Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. And he directed that first episode, right? And then the rest of it was somebody else. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. Bobby Cannavale is the main guy. Richie Finestra, who is a record executive for a place called American Century Records, and it's a fictional record company, but it's very much in the real world with bands like the Led Zeppelins and Alice Cooper and. And kind of the emergence of rock and roll and disco in the early to mid 70s. Olivia Wilde plays his wife. Ray Romano, who you heard there, is in there. Really good. I really enjoyed it.
That guy, Bobby Cannavale, or Cannavale, mm-hmm. however you say his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so weird. I'm starting to wonder if something's going on here because I watched him. Kim was watching the finale or the final couple seasons of Nurse Jackie. He's in that. He plays that Mike Cruz guy toward the end, that jerk that takes over the hospital and starts running it or whatever, and his son dies and all that. He was in that. And then I turn right around and watch I, Tonya, and he's in that.
He's in that. Yeah.
And now you're talking about him.
Ant-Man a couple of years ago.
Yeah. He's just everywhere this week for me. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he's our age. He's a month or two older than me, and he is looking good.
No, he's not. He's almost a year younger than you because he was born in 70.
Oh, I thought he was born in 69. No, you're right.
Your hour?
No, you're right. It's not. He was born in 69. No, sorry, 70. You're right. Here it is.
70.
Yeah.
And he's going to be, or he was in the third season of Mr. Robot. He's a Boardwalk Empire. I mean, he's in everything. And it's funny because you see him and you're like, oh, I know this guy. What do I know him from? And then you look him up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know him from all these different things. So he's really good. And he's really good in this.
Yeah.
So. What's interesting to me is when HBO decides to cancel shows
mm-hmm.
and there's really nobody going, hey, let's pick up this show like Carnival.
Right.
I wish they would have finished that show. Mm. Like, I love that show, but mm-hmm. they never, I think HBO is like in, I guess, a different class of.
They did it with, Deadwood as well, which bums me out to no end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming for that. Is there a movie?
Supposedly that's still happening, and there was some recent talk about it, and it looks like it's probably going to happen, but I mean, they got to hurry up, dude. It's like,
I just feel like HBO says, oh, we can drop this anytime we want. You can't do
that. Yeah. Yeah. Like Luck. Well, I mean, Luck had so many production problems, but hey, maybe Bobby Cannavale can pick up Carnival.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that Luck show was created by the dude who made The Wire. That was David, or what's David Simon? Is that his name? Whatever it is. His big thing after The Wire was supposed to be Luck, and then that took a big poo. I think it was him.
David Milch, yeah.
Oh, Milch. Different dude mm-hmm. then. So Milch did Milch is famous for
Deadwood. NYPD Blue.
Yes.
With Bochco and Deadwood.
That was supposed to be his big thing after Deadwood, right? And then that got canceled because all the horses were dying or something.
Right. And didn't Dustin Hoffman get injured on set or somebody?
Something like
that. Dennis Farina passed away. I mean, there were so many things that.
Yeah, it was cursed. It was cursed. He was in Snakes
for
on a
show
Plane.
Called Luck.
this guy was on Snakes on a Plane, by the way, Bobby. He was. Bobby Hoo-Ha, whatever his name
Bobby
is.
Bobby Cannavale. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a fine recommendation. I don't know why I didn't like it. I just couldn't get into it. I tried. It seemed like a thing I would love, but I just couldn't do it.
It is that thing where you've got a character that is, you know, your front and center main character is someone who's not always doing the right thing, you know, and you're kind of rooting for him, but you're kind of also like
not a very character.
Yeah, but kind of in a Walter White way. Like his motivations are always pure. But his actions don't always.
Because he played the bad guy in the new Jumanji movie.
Oh, was he in
that? Really? Okay.
All right. Yep. That's cool. I like the success that weird movie shouldn't have had and did.
Have you seen
the
new Jumanji? Oh, dude.
I know. I hear it's good. I hear
but
it's
then
like,
again, haven't watched Little Prince.
Yeah, I heard it's like legit good. I need to get around to it. Hey, I watched I, Tanya. Maybe I'll get around to Little Prince.
Right. Oh, and I can follow up. I just finished watching The Night Of, which was one of your recommendals a while ago, Scott, and loved it.
Yeah, it's so good. Don't you want more of that?
I kind of do. Yeah. I'm glad it's one season. You know, it was a good self-contained story, but I want more stuff like that. More stuff like True Detective Season 1. More stuff like...
Well, they're doing more. So the Night Of, I don't know what they're going to call it, but they're going to have a new case and it'll be John Turturro again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a thing that's in the works, which I'm super jazzed about because I thought he was incredible in that.
He was really, really good.
Yeah. Same with the main dude. I can't think of his name. He was in Rogue One.
No. Oh, I do have a recommendal.
Well, I'm glad it's recommendal day. Hey, here's my clip. See if you guys can figure this out. Now, I should mention that there is also a documentary about this guy, and I watched the documentary first and then the movie. That may color a little bit of why I'm recommending it. So, anyway, here it is. Check it out.
Zinky, 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 zinky. That's what I'm talking about. Wow! Mickey Stutz got fire fingers tonight. There she goes, my wife. I love you, my baby.
I just want to tell you that was a wonderful show.
Thank you.
Is it Jan the Van or Jan Lewin?
Whatever you like. Nobody say the same way.
Oh, my father was from Poland. No one ever got his name right either.
Any idea what that is?
I remember seeing the preview for this. And I'm thinking people in the chat room got it. Is that the King of Polka?
It is the King of Polka, or the Polka King, it's called.
Is this the Jack Black movie?
Yes, yes. Jack Black Netflix joint. It is on the heels of a documentary called, it may have been just the other way around, The King of Polka, whereas this is called The Polka King. I can't remember the name of the documentary now, but that's also on Netflix. So I watched that first, and that's a wild thing. Like, it's a very odd documentary in the way the story's told, but the actual story is really, really interesting. And it's about this guy I'd never heard of before, who in Pennsylvania was this huge mega hit dude in the 80s, and then it bled into the 90s in the polka scene, which apparently is very big in that part of the country. And so he even won a Grammy for polka music and became very famous for this stuff. And then he started doing these business things where he had like international tours. You got to meet the Pope. He would take you all over the world and show you historical stuff, and you would pay into this thing. And people could invest in these businesses he was running. It turns out the whole thing was a big, gnarly Ponzi scheme. The thing was, it wasn't entirely clear whether he knew he was doing a Ponzi scheme. In fact, it didn't seem like he really knew that at all. He's just kind of naive and dopey. But the documentary, you know, asks questions like that. Like, did he know? Didn't he know? Did he know he's ripping these poor old people off? Was it just a goof? Was it a mistake or whatever? Mm. So I would highly recommend watching the documentary first and then the Jack Black movie, because when you know there are things that happen in the Jack Black movie, if you see it with sight unseen without knowing anything, you'd go, oh, come on, that didn't happen, or that's a little over the top, isn't it, or something like that. And then you wouldn't respect it as much, knowing that some of those things actually happened the way they portray them in the film. Is like, oh my gosh, they, you know, you can't believe the stuff these people did.
Really?
It's I thought it was super interesting as a pairing, but I don't know if I'd recommend them separately. Well, their documentary can be watched separately, but I think the Jack Black thing needs the context, because otherwise it just feels like a weird comedy. And when you find out all this stuff really happened, then you're like, oh, it's more than that. Like, this
kinda
is
kind of like the Jinx.
A little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit like that. And also the credits start showing all the real people, and you start like I Tonya did, Brian, you know, in the credits when they started showing the real people.
Oh, yeah, all the people with the interviews. And you see Allison Janney, you see the mom with the same stupid bird on her shoulder.
Yeah, it would have. And like I Tonya, where they're the trainer lady, they're out, she's out there doing like Rocky training, and she turns to the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and goes, she actually did this. Right?
Yes, right.
I think this Jack Black movie could have benefited from that approach, because it would have been kind of a copying thing, but I don't know, other movies do it. Like The Big Short was basically that. But but it's a, I found it really entertaining, but I think it's because I saw both. So I'm going to make that as my recommendation. Watch the documentary. The guy that tells the documentary story in a bar is the most annoying documentary style
What's the documentary name again?
I think that one's called The King of Polka.
Okay. And that's on Netflix as well?
Yes. And then this movie's called The Polka King, also on Netflix. So you can just roll right into it. And I thought it was super interesting. So check it out. Available now.
I mean, The Man Who Would Be King. It's The Man Who Would Be Polka King.
There we go. That's it. Sorry. That's the name of the thing. You'll run right into him, though, because everywhere that you click on one, the other one's as a recommendation. Yeah. So it'd be hard to not find it. Nicole, what'd you bring? What do you got?
All right. I have two. I originally had one, but then I remembered I watched a movie, and I'm going to recommend it. So here you go. It's streaming on Netflix right now.
Okay.
And it might not be there for very much longer, so you need to watch it.
I'd see her. She'd miss me. Maybe put up my photo. But it never happened. You know the worst part? Even if I never got to see Coco in the living world, I thought at least one day I'd see her here. Give her the biggest hug. But she's the last person who remembers me. The moment she's gone from the living world,
you disappear from this one.
Get it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said it right there in the...
I gave it to you right there.
I think it might be Coco from Pixar Disney. Oh,
it is such a wonderful movie. It got around. I threw it on. I was thinking it was going to be more like The Book of Life. Mm-hmm. If you watch that
one. There are a lot of parallels, definitely.
There are.
Yeah.
But this is... Oh my gosh, I was crying at the end. Mm-hmm. So it was just such a great, 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 great movie. And you can watch it on Netflix. It's a Disney Pixar movie. So Disney's gearing up to pull all their stuff from Netflix. So I don't know how long.
Right, getting ready for their own deal. Yeah.
I don't know how long it's going to be on there.
I don't think it's that soon, though. Like, they've got a pretty good long-running contract with Netflix. That other thing's not even close to being ready. I think they're still for a while. I don't think it'll get pulled.
Yeah. But still.
It's really good. Coco's great. Coco's an amazing movie. I loved it.
And the other thing is, it's not a movie, but it plays like a movie. Mm. So it's really hard because there's a lot of cussing in it. I'm going to play you a little bit of it. So here you go.
Okay.
Each letter is perfect. Oh, Jesus, what the hell are you doing?
I'm analyzing the blood. I can check samples in real time. I'm sorry. I should have warned you.
Okay, just don't put any more evidence in your mouth. You got it?
Got it.
And I got to cut it there because he's going to say the F word.
I have no idea what that is.
So you heard the voice of Mr. Krabs?
Really? Yeah.
Hold on. I love him. Hold on. I should know this. Damn it. He's the guard in Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He's the one of the last Highlanders.
Clancy Brown.
Jesus. All right. So this is the movie the game Detroit Become Human.
Oh, right. This just came out on PS4.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason why I'm bringing it up in recommendals is because I'm playing a movie. Yeah. I am playing a choose your own adventure movie. And it's funny because I came off of God of War where you're like button mashing and remember your combos. And then I slide into this and I'm like, whoa, this is Heavy Rain. Remember the game Heavy Rain?
Yeah. It's the same developers. Same guys did it.
So movies that come to mind as I'm playing this game are, of course, iRobot. What's the Haley Joel Osment game movie? Was it? He was a little.
Sixth Sense?
No.
Oh, AI, artificial intelligence. Yeah.
That one. All right. So the premise of this is we're in a future world and androids are everywhere. And they're becoming, they call it deviant, which is they're becoming aware of their environment. Mm-hmm. And the scene that you just heard, there's an android detective called Connor. And he's working with the lieutenant whose name's Hank, and he does not like androids. So there's like this weird, like, hate relationship. I was going to say love hate, but he does not love Connor. But you, as Connor, try to win him over. And that's part of the thing. So if you go into this game thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, fight, this is like one of those timing games. So like Telltale, where you like hit X or. Mm-hmm. But the story is so good and I'm loving the narrative to it. And it's there's like 48 endings to this game.
Mm-hmm. It's a beast. So Quantic Dream, who made this game, they're famous for making these crazy, crazy narrative games. Some people really don't like them because it's a lot of sort of quick timey event sort of control schemes.
I don't find it that annoying,
right.
The quick time events.
If you're into the story, I think that stuff's fine because, you know.
And you can even set it to where... So right now I just have it as, you know, some of my guys can die. You play three different androids. You play Connor, you play Marcus, and you play Kara. And they all kind of weave together eventually. And after you do your chapter of that particular story, you get to see all of your actions and where you might have missed something and it could have taken you down a different path. And it just,
oh,
I
interesting.
Just, oh, I love it. I wanted to bring it up because I feel like I'm playing a movie and it's such a, I like it 100 times more than Heavy Rain. Mm. Heavy Rain kind of annoyed me. Mm. This is like the child of Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so, the graphics are amazing. It's just a really great
experience. It's a very, very, very pretty game for sure.
Yeah. Cool. It's funny because I don't really want to call it a game. It is an experience, an interactive movie.
Yeah, you know who's just, in that, Brian, is Lance Hendrickson's in there, man.
Oh, of course he is. I think you just basically put out a casting call, mm-hmm. and Lance Hendrickson has an auto reply set in his Google that says casting call. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. And what's weird about it is you see him as the character he is. He's so well rendered that I thought it was video.
It actually looks like. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's super impressive. It's nice stuff. Yeah,
Have you played this yet, Scott?
I haven't yet. No, I've been holding off a little bit. I don't like how Quantic Dream games generally play. I like the storytelling, but the play part I usually don't like. So I've kind of just like, well, I got other things to play. I'll see if I ever, you know, get around to it or something. But
there was a game a few years back called Remember Me, mm-hmm. where you could go into a scene and you could rewind and kind of see like what happened, but they didn't do it a lot, but I love that mechanic. So as Connor, the android detective, you're investigating kind of murder scenes and you're able to do that kind of rewind and analyze a lot in this game.
That's cool.
It's super cool. And you have this ability, like you're walking around, you can hit R2 and you can kind of see the whole environment in this computer state. And it will bring you to different places in the room or outside. It's just really, really cool. Yeah, Genie, Black Mirror, totally. Mm-hmm. Because it's bringing up like ethical questions of AI. Mm-hmm. And I know right now we're like, oh, that could never happen. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, did 100 years, did the people then think that we would be, I don't know.
Think we'd have little black tubes sitting on our countertops that we talk to and tell to turn the lights on and play Bon Jovi music. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I don't want to be naive enough to think that none of this could happen, but it's just a really well done piece of art.
The graphics. Yeah. I mean, the graphics are amazing. I want to see so much of this rendered Detroit. It just looks so cool. Mm-hmm. Looking at a video right now. Wow.
I think it's interesting that it's in Detroit too, because Detroit in this time frame becomes, instead of the car capital of the world, they're the android capital of the world. This is where all the androids are being made. And you pick up little pieces of magazines that you can read, and you find out kind of the deeper story. And on the TV, there's Russia trying to take over the North Pole for some reason. And I'm sure that's going to weave into the story somehow. And then you have Canada who doesn't allow androids. So there's like all these different layers that you can dive into, or you can just kind of cruise through and do what the game tells you to. Mm-hmm. But that all affects your story and your ending, how immersive you want to get into the game. So
sounds good. Detroit being human.
I just wanted to.
There's a hybrid recommendation for you there, folks. Yeah. A video game that plays like a movie. Mm-hmm. Well, Nicole, it's been a pleasure. Nicole Spag on Twitter, by the way, everybody.
I'll put all this here.
Yeah, she'll tweet all this stuff out. Good luck at T-ball. And I'm sure he'll do better than me. That I'm sure of. Have a good one. We'll see you later. All right, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Tom time.
Tomas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what this is coming up. This right here, this is Tom time.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is the very patient Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom Merritt.
Hello, Scott and Brian.
Hello, Bo.
Hello, Bo.
Hello, Bo.
Hello, Bo.
It's,
hello, Bobos.
Lovely to see you.
That's my little affectionate name for you. I guess you didn't. I hadn't told you that before.
Hey, I got a question for you.
You're the wolves of podcasting.
We had a discussion earlier in the show that I want to touch on real quick. Last night on Current Geek, one of the live listeners suggested that the next Star Wars movie should be a Yoda movie, and we kind of talked about that a little bit. Today we found out, and completely forgotten both Brian and I, that there was a female Jedi Yoda lady in the prequels.
Yaddle.
Do you remember Yaddle at all?
Yaddle was in one of the prequel movies?
Yeah.
In Phantom Menace, she's on the Jedi Council.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of pictures of her, and she's got like long braided red hair, but otherwise she's just like a Yoda-looking Yoda puppet. And I don't remember this at all. So I now seeing the look of perplexity.
She must not say much, huh?
She doesn't say much. But we had always assumed, and up till this day, I assumed Yoda was like a one of a kind. We don't know anything about his people. He may have survived, been the only one to survive somehow, or some weird story. And no, there's this Yaddle woman.
Yaddle.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing a picture, and I probably just thought it was Yoda and didn't realize there were two of her.
So did I.
Because it really is just Yoda with a red wig.
It really is,
I just thought, oh, look at young hippie Yoda in his 300s or something, when he's being a little bit of a rebel.
Yeah, he had a red mullet back then. Yeah. In Phantom Menace.
Now, when I say Yaddle, do you hear Laurel? Anyway, just kidding. All right, hey, Tom Merritt, everybody.
No, I see blue.
He is our tech lord. He has come on the show to talk about the daily goings-on in technology. Today's Wednesday, which means I'll be on the show and very excited about. What are you working on for DTNS today?
Well, at the very moment, I'm working on the Sonos announcement, which is, I think, kind of still happening. They just announced a new compact home theater speaker that will have Amazon Voice Service control, as well as AirPlay 2 starting in July, and a much smaller footprint than its Playbase, which was the previous home theater smart speaker. So it's Sonos smart speaker. They say they're going to build in support for other voice assistants. They didn't name Cortana or Google Assistant, but those are kind of the other two out there. So that's kind of exciting. And then I've also been following this Facebook story where they're striking deals with CNN, Univision, Fox News, and a few other outlets to provide original news content on Facebook. So Shepard Smith, Anderson Cooper doing shows just for Facebook. I mean, they're produced by CNN and Fox, but they're not going to air on cable. They're going to only show on Facebook Watch.
Interesting. So they would be, I assume, still branded a Fox News segment or a CNN segment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there'll be a rev share. There'll be ads and all that. Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. Like instead of Facebook going into their, you know, having their own news, system. Like, in other words, this isn't them trying to create a news network. This is them pulling from two cable networks and saying, well, what if you guys did it?
Yeah. You know what I mean, it fits with what everything that Facebook has been saying it's going to do, which is it wants to combat fake news by allowing reliable news sources to be more visible. And so I guess this is a new way to do it, plus make some money.
Yeah. I mean, money is always a thing, right? But it's interesting to pull from CNN and Fox because they are considered sort of, at least at the current moment, opposite ends of the same news stick. But also, I would argue that Shep Smith is like a weird outlier over on Fox. He tends to kind of go against what's being at least talked about in the rest of the network. Yeah, he's a bit of a maverick, and he kind of doesn't necessarily hold with the exact same views the rest of the more editorial content of that network does. And so that's an interesting pick. But I like this. I don't know. There's something about this seems okay to me. I mean, I'd be interested to see what it looks like.
I don't know that it's going to work. I mean, part of me looks at it and says, I'm going to stop myself. I was about to say, with an audience that doesn't watch the evening news, but I guess the Facebook audience is getting older and older. Mm-hmm. But even so, it's 65 plus that watches the evening news mostly, and they're not on Facebook a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that you're going to get a lot of people tuning in for news programming on Facebook Watch any more than you got them to tune in for the other stuff that Facebook has tried on Facebook Watch.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, we'll see. Brian, is this something you'd tune into? Would you fire up Facebook and go, I can't wait to see the daily news brief from one of my favorite blog? No? Okay.
No, I will continue to get my news where I'm currently getting it, which is local and BBC America.
Yeah. And podcasting and Tom,
and podcasting and you Merritt. And you and jury.
Yeah. Yeah.
The free newsletter. Yeah. I get my news there.
You want your political newsletter from you've already got one.
There is an issue with shared conversation because we don't all get our news from the same area. And it's not a bias issue. That is part of it. Everybody talks about that. But there's also just sort of a, hey, did you see the news last night? That doesn't happen because, well, I get the news from reading the BBC, listening to the Economist podcast and politics, politics, politics. And then this other person is like, well, I get the news in this entirely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the big stories are different depending on where you're looking at.
That's true. By the way, quick throwback to Sonos. I'm on their webpage and they have the new smart TV compact soundbar thing that works with, I don't want to say her name, but Echo. Works with Echo. There's a shop now button. So they've already got the stuff showing up on here. You hit shop now and you get a big old fat, sorry, 404. This page doesn't exist thing, which bums me out because I really want to see what this thing is.
It just got announced. So,
and,
yeah.
And this is like almost a direct competitor to the, since it works with AirPlay, it works with, the Echo. This is like a direct, not AirPods, HomePods competitor, right?
Well sort
it's,
of,
it's
right?
supposed to work with HomePods. That's what AirPlay 2 says. You got an Apple TV, you got a HomePod or any other device that uses AirPlay 2, you can play it everywhere, right? So I can start my music and it'll play on all the speakers. It'll share across all of them, across all the rooms. So
yeah.
That's one of the things that it,
they have a few combos that come with subwoofer and external speakers and stuff. And that stuff's coming up on the site, but they've got a broken link. Just makes me a little sad because it just feels
I mean, don't be too sad.
A little sad.
It is embarrassing for Sonos to announce something for pre-order today and then have the link not work, but I bet it works within the hour. That's just an immediate launch problem.
I was feeling very impulsive, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and I mean that's those sysadmins are sweating right now.
Yeah.
Sonos. I'm gonna.
Yeah, guess. We got it. We know how they feel. We've all been there. Well, this is all good stuff, and of course, what more they say, Tom will be able to report on today's Daily Tech News Show. At 2:30 Mountain Time, I'll be on today. Very excited to get back in there and see what's going on today. Tom, anything else before we go?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting in the final stretch of trying to get the pre-orders for the sequel to Pilot X published on Inkshares. If you don't know how Inkshares works, you get 750 pre-orders a book. They publish it like a real publisher in bookstores, in magazines, marketing, promotions, etc. 11 days left to get my 750 pre-orders for Trigger, the sequel to Pilot X, a time travel adventure. And I've got 676, so less than 100 to go. In fact, less than 75, 74 to go. So if someone would like to order 74 copies of Trigger, we'll be done.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find out more about that if you're interested in a cool sci-fi book at tomsnewbook.com.
Awesome. Go check it out. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter, dailytechnewsshow.com. Tom, it's always a pleasure, and I can't find a way to hang up on you. Oh, there we go. Have a good one.
I can't quit.
Take
you.
It easy. You can't. I can't quit, Tom.
Can't quit you.
All right. Well, we've done it, Brian. We've come to the end, but we haven't finished because we have a mashup to play before we can do anything else. I screwed up. We were supposed to play this yesterday.
Oh, cool.
As part of the 1500 celebration thing. And I played one.
Club.
Yeah, and I played one, but it was the wrong one, apparently. So mm-hmm. This is now called. Let's see. He told me to. He titled this different. Hold on a second. Where did he call this? He calls this. Nope. That's McDix. We did that yesterday.
That is McDix.
Bonus mashup. Okay, I found it. It says Mr. Scott Fletcher. I don't actually know what this is. So here it is. I'll play it. We'll see.
Oh, you know what I have to do? I gotta warm up, and I have to check my audio to make sure it's good.
I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you. This is the morning stream, and this is my boomstick, Commander Paris.
Commander Paris? I can't do the Janeway voice.
Commander Paris, I want to see you in my ready room. Bring Potty O'Hill a towel and some grapes. You got earbuds in my wiener. You got wiener in my earbuds. Better than a Strat-Tart Blueberry Pop-Tarch. Pop-Torch.
Gonna take me a couple to get that one. Hang on.
Better than a straw tart.
This is recording, right? Let me check. You know, Tom Hanks gets like $5 million to do this all day.
Turd monkey. Shit gratifter.
Is Brian Ibbett gonna have to choke a bitch? This is the morning stream. I'll never do that one for real.
All right, let's, I have more to do. Un momento, por favor.
We got scooters. We got scooters.
Foot nipple.
Foot nipple.
Your butt.
The morning stream. Eye contact. Great for job interviews. Creepy while eating a banana.
Exterminate. Exterminate! You can't spell the morning stream without remonstrating. This is the morning stream. Do you want to fight about it?
Because I swear to God, I will kick your ass.
A little turtle head pop out of my butt. Oh my.
I'm Brian Ibbett, and I support this message.
Don't nobody let you give you no shit.
What?
No, that's not it. We should really warn you. This show is gonna get all up in your grill, pimp. I think that'll do.
Oh my God.
That was great. That was really good.
I miss him. We saw him at the end of April, and I already miss him so much.
I love Scott Fletcher. He's the best.
He is the best.
Well done. More Fletcher is never a bad thing. Okay, we're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Vote on... Oh, is the showbot working today? It was broken yesterday. Let's see. Oh, it seems to be working. Okay, cool.
Yay!
You can go vote on show titles at frogpants.showbot.tv. That's for you live folks. Everybody else, listen to what I have to say right now. If you like this show and you want to see it thrive, continue, and live on forever... at least until one of us or both of us are dead, then you need to head on over to patreon.com/TMS. It's as simple as that. You can help us. You can make it happen. It's all on you. Patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. And you can contact us there. Find our emails, our Twitter accounts, all that stuff. All right. Oh, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday and all that. I think Wendy's around. I'm not sure. I got to check. There may have been something. I'll find out. I think that's it, Brian. Let's play a song.
Wow. Okay. Yes. I do have a song. Today happens to be Tina's and my wedding anniversary. 26 Yay! Years ago,
Whoa!
Tina and I got married on D-Day, no less.
Nicely
so storming
done.
The beaches at Normandy and getting married. Two big things that happened on June 6th.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm not pulling from the request list today, which is good because there actually wasn't a request for June 6th. I get to go off the board. I get to choose from off the menu and play something for Tina because I want to, and because this is one of her two favorite songs. She likes Our House by Madness, and she likes Tainted Love, originally by Gloria Jones, but of course popularized by Soft Cell. Everybody says, oh, Soft Cell. Because they did such a definitive version of the song that they are considered to be the originator, even though they weren't. This cover I'm going to play just came out. This is like so freaking brand new. There's still bits of plastic wrapped around it where I haven't cleaned it off completely. This is Pomplamoose, one of the songs they recorded for their channel. And you should, speaking of Patreon, support them as well. They're really good. Support us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have anything left over,
yes.
Put more towards us.
Yes.
And then anything left over after that,
yes.
Then send it their way.
This is all the right advice.
This is their cover of Soft Cell and Gloria Jones's Tainted Love. Here's Pomplamoose.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain. Drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere, and I've lost my light. For I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. Toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. Once I ran to you, now I run from you. This tainted love you've given, give you all a girl could give you. Take my tears and that's not nearly all. Tainted love, tainted love, tainted love, tainted love. Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away, 'cause you don't really want any more from me to make things right. You need someone.
Of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Your butt.